Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Crime Over Coffee. We're your host. I'm Abby.
And I'm Erica. Today, I'm going to be telling you guys about the Halderson family.
Today, I am not drinking anything special. I've got some lemon club soda. Erica looks like she has a pretty cup, though.
It is a pretty cup because I sat at Panera forever earlier working, and they have pretty cups now. But all it is a black coffee.
Oh.
Just their, like, regular whatever. It's nothing fancy. It's just a fancy cup.
So basically, that I filled up a couple times. We are both pretty lame this time. But hey, hopefully
it's been a day for me.
Hopefully y'all are drinking. Well, I was going to make more coffee, but I had like probably three cups. And then I went to the coffee shop by me and got a cold brew with espresso in it. And then I had caffeinated tea. So I thought maybe I should not make more coffee and opted for water.
Maybe you shouldn't stop your heart.
Yeah.
It's an option, I guess.
The funny thing is, I'm proud of you too. The funny thing is, I still feel like I could go lay down and go to bed.
Me too. This whole getting dark at 6 p.m. needs to quit. And I know that it happens every year. And I know that this is just a thing. But if you live in the Midwest or anywhere really, and it gets dark at 6 p.m., I could not do it. Those people that live in Alaska, when it's like dark for all day for however long that is during the year, could not do that. I would not survive.
I would save up all my vacation and just take off whatever, like if it's a month, the whole month, and just sleep and watch movies the whole time.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Now maybe I could do, I don't know that I could do that. I feel like I'd get so bored.
I don't know how long it is, but I know there's a horror movie that's like 12 days of night or something. And it's about vampires attacking in Alaska when it's dark. It's really awful. Yes. I don't necessarily recommend it, but anyway.
Guys, if you're still here with us, Abby might intro us into this episode.
Yes.
The rest of the way.
So pour yourself whatever you're drinking and let's dive in. Hello, everyone. We wanted to pop in before we continue with the episode and update you on a few changes to the Crime Over Coffee family. We wanted to let you all know that our beautiful and wonderful editor, Mike, will be leaving us at the beginning of next year. He's going to be pursuing other life things. We wish him nothing but the best. He has been easily the best editor we've ever had, and we have so much love for him, and we thank him so much for helping us out this past year and a half. But with that being said, we are going to be having some changes.
Yeah, we appreciated Mike so much. But we also really appreciate all of our listeners. Everybody who has supported us from the very first awful episode that we published back in 2019 until now, till 2023. We've been doing this podcast for 4.5 years, which is absolutely insane. And so we appreciate all of you guys so much for listening and for sticking with us through all the changes that we've already had, and hopefully continuing to stick with us through upcoming changes.
Yeah, so we don't want to leave you all. We really enjoy doing this. Erica and I love spending time together recording this podcast. And so while we're losing our editor, we're going to try to keep it going, but again, we're losing an editor, and Erica and I are not the most tech-savvy people, so we are going to continue recording, but it's going to be cut down to probably 1 or 2 episodes a month. They'll still be released on Thursdays, and it's likely going to be a little bit looser of a format just to ease the lift that our, again, lovely editor has been working through. So it's going to be a little different, a little bit more conversational, but we're still going to provide you with some great crime content.
Yeah, I'm gonna do my best with the editing skills that I do not have to hopefully give you guys something to work with here, some sort of good content. But I also wanted to update you guys on our Patreon. If you are already a Patreon member, or if you have ever wanted to join, we're still gonna leave it up. We are gonna make changes to it, though. We're not gonna do our bonus episodes at this time. Not saying that could never happen, but at this current moment in time, we are not going to be doing bonus episodes. So we're going to switch down to 2 tiers instead of 3. So we will have a $3 a month tier and a $5 a month tier. our $7 tier will just go mesh in with the $5. So the $3 tier is going to give you all of our episodes on that same Thursday ad-free. The $5 tier is going to give you all of our episodes ad-free one day early. Plus, you'll get access to all of our previous bonus episodes that have ever been released. So that's kind of a bonus if you have not previously been on our $7 tier. We got to put those somewhere. And so those are just going to go down to our $5 tier for now. And so you'll get, I don't even know how many extra episodes, at least 24. So bonus episodes. So if you guys want to check out the Patreon and sign up for that, you guys are welcome to do that. If not, that's totally fine. We just hope that you stick with us for these upcoming changes. And we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. In July of 2021, 50-year-old Bart and 53-year-old Krista Halderson were living in Windsor, Wisconsin. Bart was born on May 14th, 1971 in Wisconsin. And Krista had been born in January 25th of 1968 in Wisconsin as well. Bart graduated high school in 1989, and then Krista graduated in 1986. They earned their degrees from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, which I believe is where the two of them met. And then in 1994, they were married. Bart was employed as a certified accountant, and Krista was an administrative assistant for an automotive shop at the time. The two of them had two sons together, so they had 24-year-old Mitchell, who worked in tech and was actually engaged to be married, and 23-year-old Chandler, who was attending Madison College and studying for an IT degree. He also actually had a job that he would be starting soon with SpaceX, which is Elon Musk's company, and so he was going to be starting that up soon, but at the time, he was living at home with his parents. Bart and Krista also had two dogs, Izzy and Rizzo, and they spent a lot of time with their dogs at home. They spent a lot of time hanging out with friends. They enjoyed going to football games and concerts. And
this is the point in the movie where I'd be Googling, does the dog die?
Okay, that is a great question, and I will be that website for you, and the answer is no.
Thank you.
No animals are harmed in the making of this podcast episode.
We talk a lot about people dying, and sure, that's sad, but I can't add on the dogs dying to it. It's just too much.
That something about it, I think it's just same with children, I guess, but dogs and children are just usually so innocent,
mm-hmm.
and the crimes against them are just senseless. I feel as though, not that I'm justifying murder in any way, shape, or form, but as an adult, people usually have a motive against you. Like, you usually made them mad, or
they're going after your money.
Yeah, like, there's usually something different, and it's not at all okay, but children and dogs just have done absolutely nothing, and you can't get anything from that. I don't know. There's just something more heartbreaking about it. And if you get it, then you get it, and if you don't, I'm sorry. On July 2nd, Krista did not show up for work, and so her friend Daniel Kroninger got really worried because this was not like her. And so he texted her a few times, he called her a few times, was not getting a response, and so he decided that him and his girlfriend were going to drive over there and just check on Krista, just make sure everything was okay. So he knocked, didn't hear anything, he peered through the window, and the only thing that he noticed that was a little weird was that the coffee table was on its side. And so he thought that was odd, but he's like, I don't know, the fireplace is over there, maybe they're doing something. So he walks over to the garage window and looks in and sees that both Krista and Bart's cars are there. And he's like, this is weird. Neither of them went to work. They wouldn't have gone somewhere together. And so he was starting to walk around the back of the house, and then their 23-year-old son, Chandler, comes out, and he is in a towel. He's like, oh, I got out of the shower and I heard you knocking. I was in the shower. What's up? And he's like, oh, well, we're just looking for Bart and Krista. And Chandler's like, oh, yeah, they went up to the cabin. There was a family cabin somewhere up north that his parents and Chandler and his brother, they would all go stay at. And he said that there was some sort of emergency, and after a storm that had just happened, and so they went up there with another couple that also had a cabin up there. And Daniel's like, okay, I'm glad everybody's okay. I'm glad we know where they're at. They're at this cabin. So over the weekend, Daniel and Chandler are texting back and forth. Daniel's checking in with Chandler to see if he heard from his mom and dad. And Chandler's telling Daniel, you know, they don't get good service up there. So I've gotten a few messages from them, but not many. Then on Sunday, July 4th, Chandler decided to go over to Daniel's house to watch fireworks with his friends. And while he was there, Daniel's like, so have you heard from them? Do you know when they're going to be back? And Chandler's like, they said that they're going to be back Monday. I just talked to them earlier today. And Daniel's like, okay, cool. He knew that Krista had a doctor's appointment coming up soon that she really, really wanted to be at. And so he knew that there was no way she was going to miss this doctor's appointment. But on July 5th, which was Monday, Krista didn't show up for work. And Daniel got concerned again. And then on July 6th, no Krista. And then on July 7th, no Krista. And Daniel's like, something has to be wrong. And not only is she not showing up for work and not getting back to me, but now she missed that really important doctor's appointment that she wouldn't have missed. And so he's like, something's seriously wrong. So Daniel calls Chandler and he's like, look, I know that you think everything's okay. Like, you spoke to him this weekend, but I think you need to go to the police and report them missing. And Chandler is like, okay, you're right. Maybe something is wrong and I should have reported them. So on July 7th, Chandler calls the Dane County Sheriff's Office and reports his parents missing. And he, in it, you know, he says, last time I saw them, mom and dad were picked up by somebody that it was a different couple. He's like, I don't really know the other couple, but they have a cabin up near there as well. And that's who they rode with up there to take care of this emergency. So as the detectives start investigating Bart and Krista's disappearance, Chandler is doing his due diligence and he's going around doors and knocking on all of his neighbors' houses and asking them if they've seen or heard from his parents. His brother was also going around and helping look for them. And I believe Daniel was also involved in some of the search efforts that were going on. On July 8th, Mitchell, the oldest son, decided that he was going to drive 3 hours north to go look at the family cabin and just see what he found. And he was full on expecting to see something brutal because at this point people were starting to wonder if maybe something bad had happened to them up there. So he drove up there and the Langlade County Sheriff's deputies met him there and they searched the property. But there was no evidence of Bart and Krista being there in a long time, not just recently. So detectives start interviewing friends and neighbors and they're trying to figure out what was going on. And while asking Chandler about some of his whereabouts over the weekend, his story starts to not add up. And so they're like, we're going to bring him in for some questioning because this seems suspicious and weird. And so they talk with him for about 2 hours. And Chandler's like, listen, they went up to the cabin to take care of a plumbing emergency. I even helped them pack a bag of tools. Like, they took it up there for the repairs. And while they're having this conversation, they get a phone call from a farm owner that says they'd seen Chandler walking along the wood line of her property just a few days before his parents were reported missing. So deputies like raced out there and Chandler's still in this interview and they race out there and they start searching the area and pretty quickly they discover a male torso.
I mean, it's not like Chandler didn't sound sketchy the whole time.
Correct. So investigators start testing the remains and they're still, the other detectives still have Chandler in the questioning room. They're asking him questions. He ends up lawyering up and so they back off. And then shortly later, he ends up being arrested for providing false information about a missing person. 2 days later, by the way, how impressively fast they get the DNA results back. And it's identified as Bart, that male torso. So Chandler is immediately charged with his father's murder and charged with dismembering and hiding a body. But there's no sign of Krista anywhere there. So authorities are still looking everywhere, searching for her. They're like, maybe she's alive somewhere. They're still kind of holding out hope. And so they're asking, they're having press conferences and spreading the word around the community that they should be on the lookout for Krista. So a few days into this investigation, they actually get some information that turns out to be incredibly helpful. And this information comes from a well-known social media app that Abby and I both have.
TikTok.
No.
Snapchat.
This is 2020. Yeah.
I was saying, I only have
TikTok
the two.
TikTok was in 2021. Yeah. It was on Snapchat. So Chandler's girlfriend, Catherine Mellander, who went by Kat, gave investigators permission to download data from her phone. So Kat liked to kind of check on her boyfriend, and they shared locations. And so she would keep an eye on his location. And on July 3rd, she had spotted Chandler on Snapchat near the Wisconsin River. And I don't know what made her do this. I don't know if he lied to her about his location and she was trying to catch him in a lie, or if she was just did it for fun or whatever. But she took a screenshot of where he was and saved it to her phone. So when they're searching all of this, they find that on there and they're like, okay, well, that's a weird place for him to be. So they go and they go out there and they start looking around and they find human remains, which were then confirmed to be that of Krista Halderson. So Chandler was then charged with his mother's murder.
I watch all these crime shows and I'm like, if you're going to, especially when it kind of sounds premeditated at this point, but you think they would think about especially in 2021, what technology they have that could be incriminating to them. I mean, I'm glad they don't, because it helps with, you know, bringing justice and solving the crimes, but still.
Yeah, people don't really think about it, which does land in our favor. So This location that Chris's body was found at was actually near Chandler's favorite swimming hole. And so, Abby, I sent you a picture not that long ago. And guys, I'll post this on our Snapchat story. Nope. On our Instagram page. This got me thinking about Snapchat. And this is a photo of Chandler exactly... Well, this is a picture of Chandler almost 1 year before Krista was murdered in the exact same place that he left her remains. Abby, I sent you the photo.
He sure did.
He is posed in a very funny manner.
With
I will
jorts.
Say that. Yes.
But
yes, 100%.
He also... is holding like a big, what is it, like a Bowie knife or something?
Machete
is huge. Whatever it is.
So it's interesting. And then, like I said, almost a year later, that's where he leaves his mom's remains, which is kind of a little morbid. In September of 2021, so not that long after the murders took place, Chandler pleads not guilty to murder, dismembering, and hiding the bodies of his parents. He also shows zero remorse for any of this, for his parent, the deaths or anything. There was actually, and I don't know exactly when this memorial service took place, but at some point between the murder and the trial, there's a memorial service. And Chandler is talking with one of his relatives who's really sad because family members just died. And so Chandler's like, well, why don't you just go watch Halloween? Like, slasher murder Michael Myers movie.
It always makes me happy. I don't know about you.
I just like the fact that that's what the son suggested to a relative. Like, my parents just died, I know, but go watch this other movie about murder and you'll be happier.
Did they have any like physical evidence connecting him?
Not at the moment. Well, yes, they did at the moment, but I haven't presented it yet.
Okay.
I'm going to kind of present the physical evidence during the trial. But yes, I will spoil and say that there is evidence that Chandler did it. So the trial starts in January of 2022. So the trial starts in January 2022, and the prosecutors present that they believe Chandler murdered his parents because he had been keeping a secret that they found out about. So it turns out that Chandler had made up a small lie about where he was attending college. Turns out he had actually flunked out of college. And so he had been sending fake emails to his parents and to himself to make it seem like he was enrolled in school. He'd set up all these fake email accounts and was sending emails, which also meant that SpaceX job that he had lined up was also a lie.
Oh.
So he was doing nothing with his life other than hanging out at home. And I don't know if he was playing video games or just doing absolutely nothing, watching TV. I don't know.
Probably needing some money.
Oh, yeah. And so his parents found out about it and found out that he'd been lying. And I'm assuming they were probably disappointed in him for lying. And so I don't know exactly how it went down. If they confronted him and he didn't like that, or if they just confronted him and said, you know, you've got this date to move out, or you've got this date to get a job. I don't know exactly how that conversation went, and maybe nobody except for Chandler and his parents will ever know. But Chandler did not take well to them knowing his secret, and so he went out and bought a tarp and 20 pounds of ice. And they had evidence that he'd bought both of these, and the tarp that he bought was found in the garbage at the farm where his father's remains were discovered. The same tarp that he had bought. They also found cutting tools inside of a rusty oil drum at the farm where Bart's remains were found. And they did a forensic analysis, and a forensic analyst testified that the blood matched both Bart and Kristen's DNA. So, lots of different pieces of evidence here. There was also a picture that got shown to the jury of broken glass from the Haldersons' fireplace. If you remember, I had mentioned that the table had been flipped. So he had, for whatever reason, moved the table, I guess. And I don't know if he moved it in such an aggressive way that it flipped or if he flipped it for a specific reason. But he started a fire in the house and started burning Bart and Krista's remains. And so when they checked the fireplace, they found more than 200 human bone fragments.
Oh.
So most of it was in the fireplace. The parts that wouldn't burn or wouldn't fit in the fireplace, I don't know necessarily, but those were found at the different locations that we talked about.
So to answer my earlier question, yes, lots of physical evidence.
Just small pieces of physical evidence, nothing major.
Yeah.
The other piece of physical evidence is another photo that I have that I sent Abby. So, Abby, I sent you a picture of what is the Haldersons' basement. How does that look to you?
Very clean.
Very clean. You're right. It looks very clean. However, when you put blue light on it, there is blood everywhere in the basement. And I don't have a picture of the blue light on it, but there it's full of blood. And so they testified that Chandler must have cleaned up after the murder.
Unrelated, that's one of the most organized basements I've ever seen.
It is very organized. I felt like that was interesting too. It's not known exactly how Krista was killed, but Bart is believed to have been shot with a gun. They found the gun at the farm where Bart's remains were found, so they think that that's the gun that was used to kill him. But the basement is where he would have chopped up their remains enough to fit what he could in the fireplace. One of the prosecutors during the trial talked about how Chandler seemed like a pretty normal kid with a normal life until he just snapped one day and just lost it. And when he testified, he said, quote, "Someone in Mr. Haldersons' shoes with his mindset can never be safe in this community. His willingness to solve the minor inconveniences of life with brutal violence can never be mitigated in our community. As long as he breathes, he will be a risk." End quote. I can't say I disagree. If that's how he's going to respond to his parents catching him in a lie,
yeah.
How would he respond to bigger situations in life? And this could all go back to mental health, like not knowing any coping skills and not learning how to process information. I mean, that's coming from the psychology side of me. But he also could just be straight up sociopath and just not understand.
Yeah, it's like it takes a whole new level to be able to dismember somebody.
Yeah, I would agree, because you have to still be in that mindset or at least disassociating enough for a longer period of time to be able to do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
The defense attorney, Crystal Vera, tried to convince the judge and the jury that Chandler was redeemable. He deserves a chance. She said that he deserved a delicate combination of punishment and rehabilitation, which was interesting. I don't know how that I agree with that. Kind of feel like I agree more with the prosecutor. But they did let Chandler speak at the sentencing. And so he said, quote, "Your Honor, I want to take this opportunity to state my intent to appeal my convictions. If there are any lawyers listening and willing to take on my appeal, take a moment to please reach out to me. It's not that I do not have feelings. It's that I was warned not to show them due to the scrutiny of this case. Thank you." End quote.
Hmm.
It was reported that he said this in a very robotic monotone voice, though. I don't know. I feel like he, at this point, was just trying to... if you're truly upset and mourning the loss, you're going to at least look disheveled a little, I would say, if you're sitting there on trial for the murder of your parents. On January 20th, 2022, Abby, I need you to keep in mind the timeline. He murdered his parents in July of 2021. On January 20th, 2022, the jury deliberated for 2 hours, and he was found guilty of 2 counts of first-degree intentional homicide, lying to investigators, mutilating a corpse, and hiding a corpse. And so he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of release. July 2021 to January of 2022. Has that ever happened?
Yeah, especially considering these are still like COVID times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's they really just, fast.
Like, and I think all the physical evidence that they had was very, very beneficial in this case, but they like flew through the whole thing. I was impressed. The only thing is, in April of 2023, 2 of Chandler's convictions and the 2 that were vacated were hiding a corpse for both of his parents. And that's because there was an unrelated criminal trial in the same county in April of that year, or March, April of that year. And it, under the state's statute, it says that convictions for hiding a corpse can only be used if evidence is not strong enough to support a conviction for mutilating a corpse. So you can't have hiding a corpse and mutilating a corpse. You can only have one or the other. And it was higher on the chance that it was mutilating a corpse.
Interesting.
Either way, he was still sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. So either way, he's not getting out. He just lost one of his charges. Abby, do you disagree that with the conviction of Chandler?
No, he definitely should have been found guilty. It sounds pretty obvious.
No, I agree. I think he wants to try to somehow get out of jail.
Yeah.
I do feel really, really awful for his brother, because his brother lost his whole family in
like, no kidding,
a day, basically. I don't know. That I feel like that would be a really, really tough situation. So if you want to let us know your thoughts after you check out our Instagram page with a couple photos of Bart and Krista and then that photo of Chandler and the basement, let us know your thoughts either on Instagram or on Facebook, and we will see you back next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Crime Over Coffee. You can find us on Instagram at Crime Over Coffee or on Facebook at Crime Over Coffee Podcast, where all of our photo and video content for each episode can be found. You can also email us your thoughts and case suggestions at crimeovercoffeepod@outlook.com. All of our sources can be found in the show notes for each episode. If you would like, you can support us by going to anchor.fm/crimeovercoffee. You can also support us by recommending us to friends and family, giving us a good review on Apple Podcasts, or subscribing to us on your favorite podcast listening platform. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.